Welcome to the Mojo Podcast, a place where my guests share the secret of their mojo, this magical essence. We talk about the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows, the lessons they've learned so you can apply them to your life. We meet here every 2 weeks to hear from fascinating people with a mojo story to share. In this fourth series, I've been talking to a diverse group of founders about what their mojo means to them as an entrepreneur and as a leader. And it's been one of my favourite series so far for many reasons. Meeting amazing people, reconnecting with old friends, sharing the special sauce of successful founders, how they keep their mojo high and flowing in, let's be honest, often very testing and stressful circumstances. Because founding a business or a movement or a community is far from easy. However, the mojo upside when successful is huge, as you'll see. This episode is something new, a special series end summary. So just to call it out, no guests today, just me. But you will be hearing a few snippets of my guests' voices as I drop in some choice quotes from their episode. So I see this hopefully as a win-win. A win for you, my lovely audience, a short potted trip covering around 9 hours of insightful audio in less than 20 minutes. And it's also, to be frank, a win for me, a chance to stop and fully digest everything my guests shared with me and with you. And boy, there was gold in every single episode. It goes way beyond the sometimes cliche view of what a founder needs. You know, those LinkedIn posts that state you've got to have grit, hard work, determination, drive. Yes, 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 all true enough. But I found these conversations were at a much deeper, richer layer of truth that really shine a light on what goes on behind founder success. Now, I spend a lot of my time working with business leaders and entrepreneurs, working with them on their mojo. So I found this really interesting and frankly part of my continued education too. Now, before we go anywhere, I want to say a huge thank you to the 16 guests who joined me across the 10 episodes of the series. This podcast is entirely reliant on these magnificent people who come here and let me ask them deep and searching questions about life, business, and their mojo. You can find the full list of guests and episodes in the show notes. So if a particular story catches your imagination, you'll know how to find the full episode. I had so much fun with them all, sharing stories, celebrating milestones, such as the anniversaries of various businesses, and even the 50th Mojo episode. And also help them reflect on their own success, which can be difficult for founders, who move very quickly from one success to the next thing, the next project, the next challenge, and don't often have the time. Many said that joining me on the podcast allowed them to look back with great satisfaction and to realise all they had learned and achieved. And I was pleased to help create the space for that reflection to happen. So as this is new, this episode is something of an experiment to dive into the unknown, as anything new is. So I'm suitably nervy-sighted, you might say. As listeners to episode 4 will remember, that was the definition of mojo that came from Jen Smith from Craft Media. Somewhere between nervous and excited. Yes, nervy-sighted sums it up really, really well. So what I've endeavoured to do with this episode is to share the key themes I heard emerge in those 10 conversations. An enjoyable but somewhat tricky task, I have to confess. There were just so many takeaways from each episode. What was really interesting amongst such a diverse group of successful founders is there were commonalities, and it's those that I'll seek to bring you today so you can ponder those and use them in your daily life. Now, it doesn't matter if you're a current founder, a future founder, somewhere in between. Simply great insights here to apply to your life and keep your mojo flowing. Hopefully much closer to an 8, 9 and 10 than a 3, 4 or 5. And just before we get into those themes, regular listeners will know that the first question I put to my guests is always, what does mojo mean to you? Because I'm curious, I'm fascinated with this word and this essence. And here are some of the definitions that I heard in this, the fourth series. So your mojo is your vibration, your inner essence. It's how you show up in the world, the energy you exude. My mojo is my spark when my brain is fully firing, a special source that gives everything else a kick. Mojo is about being in touch with your own truth, a mood of positivity and moving forward. Mojo is feeling invincible, being in alignment with physical and mental energy. Mojo is momentum. Wow, brilliant. I love that nearly every time I ask that question, I get something new back or a nuance on a previous answer. Never the same thing. So we all have our take on it, and it's all part of the charm of Mojo. Okay, now we've looked at some of the definitions, let's get back to those key themes I've identified, the brilliant takeaways you can apply to your own context. Now, the order doesn't represent anything more than how they came to me. All important and all applicable to everyone. But it is probably fitting that the first theme I'm going to talk about is bravery. Being a founder means embracing change, often stepping away from something relatively safe, certainly known, in search of what your heart truly desires, i.e. your true purpose. And being a founder requires bravery. Here's how Ben from BNA defined bravery in episode 2.
You know, bravery is about having the courage to step into something when you know and are aware of the risks and or the challenges. And I think that it was a moment of bravery for both of us in different ways. But I don't think there's ever a situation where it's all perfect. And the sooner you get used to that, the better, to be honest. There will always be challenges. There will always be things that you wish you could change. And you can work very hard on all those things, but then something else will come along too. And I think being comfortable in that state of some ambiguity, some confusion, some trepidation keeps you honest and keeps you grounded.
Other guests talked about the failure rates of startups and acknowledged that they had to be a little bit crazy to be a founder, almost in a state of delusion at times. But that understanding your true attitude to risk and just how far you'll go and what you'll put on the line is crucial to being a successful founder. So it can be scary, but conquering that fear can actually be very powerful indeed. Here's Laura from the cider brand Scholly recalling some advice from her father.
He's always said to me, do something every single day that scares you. When I do kind of feel my heart palpitating because I have to send a really awkward, horrible email, or walk into a bar on my own with a bottle of Scholly and be like, hey, do you want to try my new cider? And I kind of remind myself that, okay, I'm doing the thing today that scares me. This is my thing. I can tick it off.
And what helps bravery? Having a positive and purposeful mindset. All my guests have taken the time to really, truly think about what they were about. They'd done significant work, really working on their purpose, their why. And all agreed that this was the best time that they had spent understanding what truly fires them up, drives them, what matters to them. And this allows you then to make decisions and set a direction and create a vision. It becomes like a guiding light. So for anyone looking for what's next for you, always start here. Let's listen to Jamie from Lovecorn in episode 10 on his choice to claim a positive, purposeful mindset.
I think this is what my brother and I talk about a lot, is like the only thing that we can really can control are the inputs. And whatever happens to the outputs is normally out of our control. But as long as we're putting the right inputs in, then that's the best all we can do. So first and foremost, the best inputs that we've done is we've created an amazing brand and an amazing product. So our attitude is, it's not a no, it's just not now. Our attitude is that we're going to be in every retailer, in every store, in the next 5+ years.
And then Karen from Smashing the Glass in episode 8 told it very plainly that you could basically forget about being a successful entrepreneur if you maintained a negative and fixed mindset. Life and business moves too fast and you have to adapt and pivot quickly. And she should know, as her core business was based around the wedding industry, which took something of a dip during the pandemic. But her positive purpose mindset allowed her to quickly move on, and she found the time and space to conceive a completely new membership platform during COVID, which is now actually bigger than her original brand. There's a well-used quote in business that a principle isn't a principle until it's cost you some money. And that brings us to our third theme, values and principles. This is about knowing them, getting clear on them, and keeping to them. Values and principles really tell us what we're all about, what we will do, what we won't do, what sort of clients we want to work with even. And that quote really came alive when Ben in episode 2 told me about how a values clash with their first ever client at BNA meant that he and his partner decided to put principle before profit and actually walked away from their first project as they knew there would be serious issues further down the line. And getting clear on values and principles is a key piece of work I suggest any founding team do early on. It's something I do a lot with clients in startups. It really maps out the business DNA beyond product and finds meaning and helps make decisions. Listen to Karen from Smashing the Glass and what values do for her.
I think you've got to attract and repel with what you do. Otherwise, you'll never be known for anything. You'll never, you know, so people think of Jewish joy or Jewish positivity, they think of me. Whereas if I try to appeal to all Jews, like when there's a conversation about something, they're like, well, who should we interview for this? Like, I don't know, to interview this one. No, they think straight away of me. So you've got to stamp something. You've got to be known for something specific. And as I say, if you're attracting and repelling, that's a really good sign.
And over at Craft Media, Jen Smith told us about the Crafty Code, written right at the start of their business before many clients had even been won and employees had been brought on board. This code still guides decisions they make every day, 5 years on, which leads to big cultural moves, such as that they hire on character and not just on skills. Now, it might sound obvious that passion is a key trait of any founder, and it is indeed the next theme. Of course, you have to love what you do as a founder to make those moves and even some sacrifices. And I've chosen this theme to showcase what truly finding your passion can offer because, and I've been guilty of this in the past, we can be encouraged, even pushed, to fake passion for what you do. As Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters memorably said, you can't be truly great at something unless you love it. Does this sort of sentiment lead to us faking that passion? Perhaps. But you can't really do that, and it always shows up in the end. As Sally from Craft Media noticed in episode 4, she talked about the dead eyes that she saw in herself when pitching to clients she wasn't truly passionate about. But when you do find that true passion, it's an incredible driver. Ali Owen from Brixton Finishing School back in episode 1 talked about that if you found what you really, really want to do, it's impossible not to do it. And for her, that's making the advertising industry more reflective of society. In episode 7, Josh Kacheri from the fashion brand Loved Hero talked very openly about how passion had always been his guiding light. His passion had seen him make big changes in his life, from leaving a successful business in his native Australia to starting all over again at the bottom of the fashion industry in London. Why? Because he knew he had to do it to truly follow his passion, which is to create a truly sustainable fashion brand that is less damaging to the planet and to people. And finally on passion, this quote from Cal from Shine in episode 9 really shows what happens when your passion is truly aligned with your purpose.
I mean, I think for me, I have to feel passionate about what I do. So I felt passionate about what I did at Nike. I felt very passionate about what I did at the Nike Foundation. But there is something extraordinary about getting up every day and knowing that we are going out to enable women to feel extraordinary, enable women to forge their own paths.
Next, let's look at strengths and fully understanding and focusing on your core strengths. I think every single one of my guests talked about this and how this focus on real strengths has enabled them both personal growth and business success. Thinking about strengths allows you to find incredible energy as you'll be doing what you really love to do. And it allows people around you to grow as you're less likely to tread on their toes. And it becomes the encouragement to bring other people with specific strengths and skills, different to your own, into the business. And this is vital. This is all part of the process of letting go in order to grow. Now, I could pick many quotes in this series for this theme, but this one from Ali Owen from Brixton Finishing School is genius.
People always go, oh, rather than just playing to your strengths, you should really upskill your weaknesses. Fuck your weaknesses, delegate your weaknesses, because they are just going to slow you down. Just 85% of your day should be in your strengths, because your energy will last a lot longer when you're surfing rather than swimming against the current. Yeah. You know, that's the 15% of stuff that is going to be swimming against the tide. But then choose what time you're going to swim.
Now I want to talk about sharing. I read a quote recently that as a first-time founder, your tendency can be to keep everything secret because you're worried about someone stealing your idea. And then second-time founders learn from this and share their ideas widely. Well, universally, my guests were all sharers. They found that by doing this, people were often more willing to help and support them than sometimes we might believe. No one I was aware of had an idea stolen, and some even found a business partner by doing this kind of sharing early on. Here's Kate from Liberty Hive on how they use LinkedIn to take their fledgling idea for a new tech platform that matches great people to create roles to market.
won't lie, it probably took us 2 days to build up to sending that one message on LinkedIn. And then we sort of pored over it, we looked at it again and again to make sure we had it right, and then we sort of press send and it just went. And you're right, at that point we didn't have any technology, we only had an idea about what we wanted to create. And because it's a community-based idea, the response was phenomenal. I think we got about 13 or 14,000 likes, comments very, very quickly. And from there, that gave us confidence, obviously. And then from there, we ended up building up a community of about 150 people before we'd even launched the technology platform. So before we'd even launched, we had these people that were supporting us, contributing, talking to us, which is incredible.
And for me, sharing also covers getting a great support network around you as a founder, sharing the burden, if you like, and sharing what you need in order to be the best version of yourself. Here's Anda Ganska, the founder of Notch, in episode 6, talking to this theme.
It's also important to create a network of people who can help you navigate your own mind through those hard problems. So coaches, therapists, your co-founders, your board, your advisors, not just your friends and your life partner, but really people who are invested in your own, ability to be a leader.
And this leads nicely into the 7th theme, self-care habits. I tend to finish the episode by asking my guests what are the things they have to do every day to keep their mojo high. And what really came out here were these habits of self-care. And this ranged from making your bed every day to getting outside into nature, exercising, breathing properly, even shamanic ceremonies. And all my guests understood how having a daily practice around self-care helped manage the demands of being a founder, keeping you grounded in a storm. Because the pressure and burden can be intense and immense when the expectation on you is not just your own, but from your employees, your clients, as well as family and friends. People are relying on you, the founder, to be at your best so they, your team, can pay their mortgages. This is a lot. So focusing on self-care and remembering that you need to put on your own oxygen mask first to be of more help to those around you is vital. And finally, a relatively new thought came to me as I was finishing this series. There was something that truly tied these wonderful people together, and that was their commitment to what they were doing, their commitment to their success, to their dream, passion, and the purpose of their project. And this commitment means choosing not to have any more choice. Here's Laura from Scholly again, talking about this.
The other thing that helped, I guess, get us to where we are is not having a fallback plan. There wasn't a plan B.
And I see all these successful founders making commitment to what they have chosen to be and to do. They wake each day and fully commit to what they are doing. And their behaviour and beliefs are really clear on this, for all to see and for them to know. Committing doesn't mean not adapting or pivoting, or indeed feeling the fear from time to time. But what I found were these founders were unwavering in their beliefs, and that is right at the heart of a strong mojo. I really believe great things sit within all of us. We all have amazing potential when we decide to commit to creating our own reality. It's my encouragement and my wish that you find your thing, whatever shape it takes. And I believe you'll find that you have the mojo in place to make it happen. I really hope this summary of the 10 episodes in this series has been valuable for you. I enjoyed the challenge of creating something a bit different. So as ever, please do let me know what you think and what the impact for you has been. You can do this with a review on Apple Podcasts, a comment on LinkedIn, or a direct message to me on email. And I've had many of these about the series. It's truly humbling to get this feedback and really lifts my mojo to bring you even more content in the future. And on that, Series 5 of the Mojo podcast will emerge into the light in September of this year. It's going to be a series of conversations with people who can support your mojo. I'm calling it the practitioners. They are teachers, mentors, coaches, experts, all with their own mojo story to tell, and also more tips and insights for you to draw on. I know it's going to be a joy. Until then, I truly hope your mojo continues to flow.